basketball Jones. Got a basketball Jones. Oh, baby. Ooh. Yes, I'm the victim of a basketball Jones. Ever since I was a little baby, I always be dribbling. In fact, I was the baddest dribbler in the whole neighborhood. Then one day, my mama bought me a basketball. And I love that basketball. I took that basketball with me everywhere I went. That basketball was like a basketball to me.
Happy New Year to you and yours. Tennessee rings out the old, rings in the new with a victory today. It was not easy. Nothing comes easy to this basketball team. And that certainly was not easy. Our volunteers victorious 71-61 against a very game East Tennessee State team today. Tony Basilio welcoming you into another edition of Your Smart Way. Dalton Behring and Hydraulic, Tennessee Basketball Overtime, the place where we talk about it as soon as the game is over. Happy to be with you today. A game where Tennessee survives a 21-point effort from Rashawn Rembert, who I didn't think was ever going to miss in the first half. And the Vols improved to 8-4 overall. East Tennessee State falls to 6-4. And I welcome you into another edition. And when you look at what Tennessee did in the non-league schedule, yeah, through their 12 games, played Virginia Commonwealth very well to start the season. Adverse way to start the season, obviously. Played Kansas off their feet before succumbing. Lost to Marquette. Suffered another loss in there at NC State. No shame in that. Went over Butler. Went over Kansas State. And swept the four games at the end of December they had to have that we talked about before. And now Tennessee is set up as they get ready next Wednesday to start. It'll be roughly 1 week from today. They'll be on the road, 9 o'clock Eastern tip-off with Mississippi Mistake. Really, really proud of this team today. Really proud. Really proud of TCU, too. Can I just say that? And by the way, John Chavis is on his way, ladies and germs, to LSU. I mean, to Texas A&M. I'm already into the eggnog. In fact, let's bring Hatfield in here in that note. Hatfield, Happy New Year to you, my friend. Keith Hatfield making his way from the game as we speak. Keith, your thoughts on Tennessee's victory today over a very gallant East Tennessee State team?
Well, Tony, I think anytime you're able to weather a storm like they got hit with early, I mean, when you're down 13-0, it looked like they were just going to get buried by a barrage of threes. And I thought the defense in the second half was really good. I mean, even the shots they made in the second half were contested. I thought the ball movement was by far the best it's been all year today, too. I thought Tennessee really moved the ball well offensively. And I mean, ETSU is no world beaters, but they're not bad, and that's a good win. And you've now done what you had to do. You had to get those four non-conference games in that homestand at the end and get all those in the win column, and they were able to do that.
Keith, we talked during the game, or during the week, and East Tennessee State scared me. And the reason they scared me is we struggle against teams that shoot the ball from the outside. And they're a team that can flat out shoot it. And I'll tell you something. The kid from, you got to know this. The kid from Carter, Lester Wilson, absolutely lit it up today. Wanted to be there, wanted it. Rashawn Rembert, a week and a half ago, had a 9-3 ball effort. He doesn't get to that level today, but Keith, it looked for a while when he had five, including that last one. I guess he had six in the first half. He hit that last one to end the half. You had to think sooner or later these guys cannot continue to shoot at this pace. And I give Tennessee the utmost credit because how many times you see a team where a team shooting threes on you and you feel like you have to go to the other end and answer? Tennessee showed a lot of discipline in settling for twos while East Tennessee State was in that flurry of threes.
Oh, no doubt. And like I said, Tony, I thought the ball movement and the passing today was exceptional for the most part. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are some turnovers here and there, but I thought mm-hmm. for the most part they did a fantastic job today moving the ball, sharing the ball. I think mm-hmm. I just see a very balanced scoring effort across the board. I just thought it was as solid an offensive effort as we've seen from this team.
Let's look at the go inside the numbers here, and then we'll go to the phones at 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. Tony Basilio, Keith Hatfield, along with you today. Smart Way, Dalton Behring and Hydraulic. Tennessee basketball overtime, the Vols win 71-61. Josh Richardson led the Vols. He had 19 in the game, 4 rebounds, and 6 assists as he continues to play extremely well from the point guard position, and who would have thunk it? And the thing that's really interesting about him at point guard, as we look inside the numbers, Keith, is that Josh Richardson, one of the great byproducts is that he's able to get shots against smaller guys. In that point guard matchup as things fall. And that's been the case. Josh, one of the byproducts of him playing the point is it's a matchup nightmare for most teams at this level.
Oh, yeah. Not many teams have got a guy 6'5", 6'6", playing at the point. So that certainly gives Tennessee a decided size advantage at that position. And I think it disrupts some opponents' offenses, too, having a guy that big playing out top in the zone too. He's been fantastic. I mean, I don't think there's been any doubt that Josh Richardson's been one of the better players in the SEC the first month plus of the season.
And then we continue to look at the numbers here as we go inside. Armani Moore with 13 in the game, 12 huge rebounds this afternoon to go with 7 assists. Armani Moore gets the game ball today. His energy, played within himself. Excellent basketball game today for Armani Moore. Derek Reese today continues to come. 12 points, 5 boards, played with a tremendous amount of effort as he has, and boy, he's really taken the next step. Another guy today. How about Robert Hubbs continuing to play well as he has 8 points today, 2 boards, 4 assists. Kevin Punter, 7 points, a rebound, 2 assists. Willie Carmichael, 9 points in the game, 5 boards, and his obligatory 4 fouls. And interesting today that Devin Bachman ends up today not scoring, which ends a rather lengthy streak and really didn't play much in today's game.
No, I think Coach Kendall decided to go with the guys that were having really good days, and I think that resulted in Hubs and Reese probably getting more minutes than normal, and that certainly ate into Bachman's time.
Back to the phones we go if you want to get in. 865-200-5402. Tennessee now 1-10-1 against the spread this season. And when you see an 11-point line, why would you bother playing that team? Why would you bother betting the Vols? Back to the phones. Les Koenig today and Bruce Chambers fired by Texas, their tight end and wide receivers coach. Ole Miss is getting eviscerated. Justin Martin commits to Tennessee today, lockdown cornerback. Things are really happening in real time here. Go to the phones. 865-200-5402. Back to our phones we go. If you want to get in with us today, hello and welcome. You're on your Smart Way, Dalton Behring, Tennessee basketball overtime.
Hey, guys. It's Tim Pete.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, first off, I I was traveling back from Tri-Cities today, and I had the pleasure of listening to the game on their ETSU broadcast.
Mm.
Just wanted to say those guys do a marvelous job. You felt like, I mean, I won't compare it to John Ward, just because I don't want to put anyone on that pedestal, but yeah, man, I felt like I was right there on the court. You know, didn't see any of the game, but kind of knew what was happening the whole game, and you know, it'd be nice to have that over there. But anyway, so it seemed like Keith, we really locked down the rebounding in the second half. And I know they're not a big team, yeah, but that was something that worried me. You know, coming into this game, is are we going to be able to get some offensive boards? You know, are we going to be able to box them out? You know, they're pretty athletic. So I think that kind of swung the game there when ETSU went 4 or 5 minutes scoreless.
No, I don't think there's any doubt. The rebounding today was very good. Like I said, I thought the defense in the second half was pretty doggone good. I mean, they had a stretch there of several minutes where they didn't score and really didn't get anything in the way of a good shot for a good portion of that time. So I think the second half effort defensively today was certainly something to build on, and I think something they can be happy with going forward.
Yeah, you gotta be happy to get out, you know, the double digit win, you know, take it. ETSU played a really good game. I mean, you know, there in the first half when UT kind of pulled ahead by 5 points, you know, you kind of thought Tennessee was going to take over, but, you know, the kid stuck a three and then you knew that, hey, it's probably going to be a dogfight the second half. So, yeah, it's one of those things, like we've said all year, guys, you take a win, you do what you do to get a win because you don't know how many of them are left. And, you know, hopefully we can go down and steal one and start. Well, that's really all I had. I hope you all have a happy new year.
Hey, MP, let me ask you something on the way out.
Yeah.
What were their announcers doing when they were just bombing in those three balls?
They were very, I mean, they were excited. And they have a color guy that ironically kind of reminded me of Bertelkamp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was kind of a homer, but they were, you know, and I don't know if it's a situation where it's like, hey, you know, we're playing UT. There's a lot of, you know, UT and ETSU fans that, you know, people that like both schools. So not homered up too bad, but they were straight down the middle. They were very complimentary of the way the game was officiated.
Mm-hmm.
It never felt like, even though that, you know, Tennessee had a lot more foul shots in their leg, he never felt like these announcers were, you know, complaining or bellyache. I just thought they did a really, really good job.
Thanks, man. I appreciate your input. Thanks for being there.
Yeah. Thanks, Ken.
All right, man. Hey, you know, that's a good point he brings up. The officiating was pretty good today, Keith.
No, I didn't see anything that I thought was out of line today from the officials. I thought they let them play, and I thought the game had a good flow to it. I mean, you get done, anytime you get a game done in under 2 hours these days is a bit of a shock. So I thought the officiating day was just fine.
Yeah, it was well under 2 hours. Wasn't even close. About an hour and 50 minutes, and that just doesn't happen anymore.
No, with the number of fouls called and the number of commercial breaks and everything, mm-hmm. it's rare you're going to get out of there that quick.
865-200-5402 is our number. Again, 865-200-5402. If you want to get in with us this afternoon as we compete today with many things that are out there, including the holiday, Tennessee victorious as we come on after each and every game. Tennessee wins today by 10 over ETSU. ETSU started out 13-0 in this game, if you're just tuning in. And there were a lot of nervous people in Thompson Bowling, and the Vols never panicked, though they have such a hard time, Keith, obviously, at times putting the ball in the basket. Today, the ball movement was just excellent, as you pointed out, and really, to me, one of the more impressive wins of the year today. I know that's going to make people go, huh? This was a game I was really, really worried about, Keith, and I know you were too. And this is a really quality sign as far as I'm concerned. Let's go back to the phones. And if you want to get in, 865-200-5402. As I'm Tony Basilio along with you, hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony and Keith, this is Action Jackson.
Hey, AJ.
Hey, AJ.
Keith knows this, but Tony, did you know I'm a Buccaneer?
I think I saw that on Twitter today, that you're an East Tennessee State guy, uh-huh.
I'm very proud of the effort we displayed today. I think we have three of the best players in the Southern Conference. Moore, Hubs, and Reese, they play the best I've seen them play all season. We lost because of those three in the second half drought. And we have no presence on the interior.
None. You have no inside game at all. We have no size. And so the game is, and I'll say this for ETSU. ETSU, when they get the three, when they're presented with the open three, as Dane Bradshaw said, brother, they will shoot it. And they will not hesitate to shoot it. And, boy, Wilson's a really nice player, Keith, isn't he? Lester Wilson's become a real nice college player.
Oh, yeah. He's certainly a fantastic player at the Southern Conference level. I think they'll have a chance to be competitive and maybe win that league tournament. I think they're certainly among the contenders.
Well, you stole my question. That was what I was going to ask. If we have a chance to compete with Wofford and others for the SoCon title.
Oh, absolutely. Now, Wofford's a team, obviously, that won it last year, and they're the odds-on favorite this year, and they've already stolen a sexy win. So far on the season at NC State. But the thing about a team like East Tennessee State is if you can shoot it like that and you're playing in a conference that's a conference tourney conference, so it's going to come down to what happens at the end of the year anyway, all you have to do there is get hot over a three-day stretch.
Absolutely. The three-pointer is the great equalizer.
Well, it's and the way
especially
you guys...
Yeah,
and the way you guys shoot it is just, it's obscene.
Yeah. But that's all I've got for today. Happy New Year to both of you guys. And I'm out.
Thank you, man. 865-200-5402 if you want to get in with us today on the program as we talk about Tennessee's victory today over East Tennessee State. And if you want to jump in with us here on your smart way, Dalton Behring and Hydraulic Tennessee basketball overtime. Would love to hear from you, and let's get it going. 865-200-5402, and we're wide open for you. Absolutely wide open for you. Tennessee, with a great gesture at the end of the game, my son shot me a text afterwards, Keith, that the Tennessee players went up to the Thompson Bowling Arena concourse and were mingling with fans and signing autographs after the game. That's a good idea. That's cool. Posing for pictures, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, certainly you've got to, I think you've still got some kind of mending to do with the fan base. I think kind of the way Konzo Martin's tenure ended, I think left a bad taste in some people's mouth. And I think Coach Tindall's doing all he can to kind of rebuild that connection with the fan base, and I think he's doing a good job of that.
865-200-5402. Also today, Justin Martin, top shutdown cornerback in junior college football, commits to the University of Tennessee. He was leaning to LSU. John, with news that John Chavis is on his way to Texas A&M, Martin goes ahead and pulls the trigger and commits to Tennessee today.
Well, John Chavis just did more recruiting for Tennessee than he's ever done before.
That's a pretty damn good line, because he hates to recruit.
Yeah, that's not something he finds terribly appealing.
Tennessee, according to Ben Fredrickson, outscored East Tennessee State 19-5 after ETSU took a four-point lead with 9:39 to play. The Vols go on a 19-5 run and run them out of the gym. 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. Donnie Tindall still has not arrived at his press conference, as he's up in the concourse right now, shaking hands with people, and that's really fun, isn't it? Isn't that a great thing?
I think it's a great gesture. I mean, folks showing up on New Year's Eve with when they could have done something else. Absolutely, I think that's certainly warranted.
The selection committee, according to Randy Campbell, should be absolutely ashamed of themselves. TCU is beating Ole Miss right now 42-0, Keith.
Oh, yeah. Ole Miss looks like they would rather be anywhere. Their bowl game, their performance is right there with that slop Oklahoma threw out.
TCU would absolutely beat the living hell, and you can say it, know it, and write it down out of Ohio State if they played right now. They would beat the living snot out of them. Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. To our phones we go, which are all busy. Let's grab our next call. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony and Keith, this is Adam.
Hey, Adam. Appreciate you being there, man.
Hey, great calling in. I'm a student over at UC. I'm a grad student, and so today I hate to admit it, but it was my first game of the season. Grad school keeps me pretty busy.
I hear you.
Holiday break.
What are you studying? What are you studying, Adam?
Sure, I'm getting a master's in public health, so I'm going into hospital administration.
Oh, that's wonderful, man.
But just calling in, and just real quick point, I just was really impressed with the basketball team coming out of timeouts, whether it was defensively, offensively. It always seemed like Donnie had the guys in position to either make the stop or get a real quick basket, or even if we didn't make it, it was a good-looking shot. And I just got to say I'm excited with the way he's got the team going. I think I saw where we played the 17th most difficult schedule in the country so far to this point, and I think we're moving in the right direction. I know postseason play is kind of a pipe dream a little bit, but I think I like the way Donnie's taking this team. I think we've got a good future if we can hang on to him.
You know, from my end, as I get older, I like to live every day, okay? So I'm enjoying every minute of these guys. In fact, to make your point, out of timeouts is a great way to judge a coach because you're right there. What do you do out of an inbounds play? What do you do defensively? Donnie Tindall, Keith, I thought Pearl was really good in those situations. Donnie Tindall so far, Keith, has been absolutely excellent.
No, I think strategically he's done about everything you could do with this team
yep.
so far. I think he's gotten everything you could get out of it. I think he's wringing every little bit you can get out of him. And mm-hmm. That's why they're sitting at 8-4, having played a reasonably difficult schedule.
And Adam, to your point, when you're there watching them live, because a good friend of mine was at a practice, a closed practice the other day, but he was invited over there, and he called me afterwards, and he said, I can't believe how physical those guys were toward each other in practice. Adam, when you're there in the gym, did you notice today how they celebrate hustle plays more than they do points? When they create a steal or knock a ball out of bounds, they celebrate that a lot more than they do points.
Oh yeah, definitely. They were high fiving each other on plays or loose ball plays, and there was even one play. I think they're trying to break the press and get it up quickly. Armani Moore kind of did a punt / soccer ball kick the ball about 10 rows up into the stands. It really gets the fans going. I know it wasn't, you know, big crowds on holidays,
right.
But it really has an effect on the fans, and I think the team and the fans just kind of start feeding off each other.
It's really fun. This is going to be a fun team to watch, and as you said earlier, I mean, people that are worried about making the NCAA tourney, let's just take it one week at a time. I mean, here's a team that is going to be in every game they play. The schedule's not going to be the toughest from here, but nothing's going to be easy for these guys, Adam. And, you know, at the end of the day, I love the effort. I love the hustle. I'm appreciating this brand of basketball, especially as I look at the Konzo Martin years. I appreciate this so much more. Because it looks to me like these guys, like it matters to them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I totally agree. Thanks for the vibe on here, Tony. Keith, y'all have a great rest of the day and have a happy new year.
You too, man. And good luck in your studies, too. And call us back again. 865-200-5402. TCU would absolutely beat the living, you know what, out of Ohio State. Give me a break. Let's go back to our phones. Keith, my Temple boys just picked up a win, four-point win on the road at UConn. Your thoughts?
Well, I think since the transfers have gotten eligible there, they've played pretty good basketball. I mean, they blow Kansas out, and they'll get a good conference win to start off the conference season. I think Temple's got something going right now.
Daniel Hamilton was 0-for from the foul line in that game down the stretch, and Ryan Boatwright got hurt and didn't play. This is the first time, Tennessee's basketball team will enter SEC play on a four-game winning streak. Up next, Keith, is dynamic, electrifying Mississippi State.
Well, that's one you really need to get, Tony. I mean, you don't get many opportunities where you can look at it and say, hey, we're a considerable favorite on the road. And that's certainly going to be the case in that one. I mean, Mississippi State is just atrocious.
Rick Ray?
Yeah.
Nice job.
That's a really, really bad basketball team that certainly they've allowed that program to fall off the end of the earth to a great extent.
What do we decide he has the you and I have decided something about him. He's got the presence of what?
No, I mean,
goalpost?
Yeah, I mean, he just has no presence. I mean, he's just a guy. He's just somebody getting a check from Mississippi State. I mean, that's a program that's history is way too good to have that bad a basketball coach.
Back to our busy phones we go, 865-200-5402. Let's grab our next call. Hello and welcome. You're on the Smart Way, Dalton Behring and Hydraulic, Tennessee Basketball Overtime.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Donnie Boy.
Hey, man. Hey, before we jump into that basketball, just a comment on one of your last comments. Not only TCU showing how they should have been in the Final Four, another team called Baylor beat them. So it looks like the selection committee kind of feeding their post toasties. Well, of course, no, they got what they wanted, unfortunately. But yeah, we went from no playoff to 14 playoff, and it's obvious it should have had to been more than that if they were going to make the selections the way they did. But to more important things, which is Donnie Tindall and the Vols. Tony, you know how much I talked to you over the years when Bruce was here. I'm a big Bruce fan. I believe Tindall's just a better basketball coach. I don't think Bruce could have took this team to be 8-4 right now. What do you two guys think?
What do you think, Hatfield, of that statement?
I mean, he's maximized. I mean, they've certainly, I mean, I've, the win over Kansas State and the win over Butler are both very impressive to me, and they managed to avoid any mishaps and against any of the games where they were substantial favorites. I don't know how anybody would be getting any more out of this group than he's getting right now.
Well, Marquette, I think, is the big one that sticks in my crop a little bit. I think we should have beat them. But other than that, you know, I made a prediction to another media person in town back when they were commenting on Tennessee being selected 13th in the conference, that they wouldn't finish worse than 4th or 5th, and kind of got ridiculed. But you know what? I'm going to stick with that. 4th or 5th is about as low as I see this thing going.
Well, when you look at the league.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at.
The league is so bad. I mean, look at Florida right now, guys. They are 7-5. Keith, what is
They're
going on with
them? They're throwing the ball in their
own basket. Keith, what are they doing?
I just don't think they've had some injury problems and everything. I think they just got caught in a situation where they lost all those seniors from last year. I think they're just kind of shorthanded right now.
What happened last night with them is something that, you know, you could almost see happening to us. But, hey, Keith, I asked you this a couple of weeks ago, and I know they're a very good three-point shooting team, i.e. they shoot 41% for the season. We actually held them below that. Somehow. But are we ever going to start a game with that same clown coming out hitting six or seven in a row from 3-point range?
That certainly, Don, seems to be the M.O. I mean, somebody goes out and guns it against us every game, it seems like.
And it's not, they got some wide open books, but some of those, number one, came from so far out. Number two, some of them, they had hands in their face. They just, went in the zone. And I'm glad they went cold, because they, I think, finished 13-32, and I think they were 13-25 at one point. I could miss like seven in a row. I know they were 11-21 when they hit their 11th.
Don, there was a couple there early in the second half where they lit it up. There was one catch and shoot three that was so far out, it was insane.
It's like Chris Lofton came back to the other
team. Yeah.
But he was playing in three different players' uniforms.
Keith, I think it was Riley caught a ball way out. He might have been 26 feet out and shot the thing and hit it.
No, I mean, that's the one thing. I mean, and those guys have got the green light to shoot it, and they've got confidence because their coach obviously knows that's how they have to play.
Yep.
So, I mean, those guys have the confidence to step up and hit those. And
I like him.
They certainly hit a bunch today.
Yeah, he does a nice job. They're a nice team.
Well, guys, I tell you what, I just wish McGee wasn't out. I really like this presence inside. But, Tony, you normally get a collar or two after most games where they're really, really coming down on our boy Derek Reese. But I was glad he was on the court tonight because he played ball. I mean, he got on boards. He played defense. He kept the ball alive a couple of times where he didn't get a rebound credit but bounced the ball off the other player or caused them to, knock it back out of bounds. And then, of course, he contributed greatly, in the scoring margin. So, when they call, they need to back off of Derek for a little bit until, I know he'll go out and have some crazy games, but I just think he's not as bad as some people portray him to be, not worthy of scholarship, et cetera. Especially on this team where we just kind of got to grab all anyhow. And I think if Robert Hubbs continues on, between Josh and Hubbs and Punter and Balkman, and occasionally my still up from the outside, this team's going to be able to hang with most things.
Most teams. That's right. Don, thank you. And they're only going to get better. That's the thing about it. This team's only going to get better. And Keith Hatfield, my favorite aspect of today's game was the ball movement and the way they didn't panic, because they certainly could have. And we're getting ready to go back to our phones. Donnie Tindall, he said, Armani Moore is my type of dude. May not be the prettiest, kind of like me, but he's my type of guy. That's pretty well put. As Donnie Tindall finally meeting with the media, he said that early on we didn't get on East Tennessee State shooters. He said, I credit our team, though, for weathering the storm, but we have to do a better job of closing out on the perimeter. We'll go ahead and jump back to our phones as Donnie Tindall has now made his way to the podium. I'll keep you abreast of what he has to say, and I'll be real curious to hear what Donnie Tindall has to say as far as Balkman goes. Why, Keith, didn't he get more minutes? That's interesting to me.
Like I said, John, I think he realizes with the roster he's got, he's going to go with the guy who's having a good day on a particular afternoon. I think that's how he's going to have to kind of mix and match this team. I mean, outside of Josh and Armani, I don't know if there's anybody really on that team that you look at, and maybe Kevin Punter, that you're certain is going to play big minutes. I think those are the three guys that, and Carmichael has to out of necessity when he's not fouling people. And I think that's where it's at.
Back to the phones we go. Last time Tennessee overcame a 15-point deficit, according to Ben Fredericks of KNS, was a win against Texas in 2006. Boy, that was a long time ago. 8 years ago, wow. And Tennessee overcame a 13-point deficit today. Back to our phones we go. If you want to get in with us, 865-200-5402. Ole Miss on the verge of perhaps scoring as they just intercepted a ball. And away you go. Back to the phones, took it down to the 10-yard line of TCU, down 42-0. Back to our phones we go. Let's grab our next call today on your Smartway Dalton Bearing and Hydraulic. Tennessee basketball overtime, hello.
Hey, this is Robert. How are you guys?
Hey, Robert, appreciate you being there.
Okay. This team looks like they're in phenomenal shape. Because they obviously they wore them down last, you know, 5-6 minutes. And I really like watching them play. They move the ball around a lot better than any of Konzo's teams. And I was looking at the schedule. I don't see why they can't go 500 in the league. And mm-hmm. what would that put them at, like 18-12 or something like that? And, you know, they get hot in the postseason. I don't see... I'm not going to be disappointed if they don't go to the NCAA, but you know, I'm not ruling it out either.
And they're in a much better position than they were than I thought they would have been. I'll be honest with you.
I'm not calling it, but yeah, this definitely possible, and you know who knows. And you know, as those guys start playing with each other more, I think they'll be better in transition, and they'll help the way they like to play defense, so it'll all feed together. So, anyway, I just want to see what you guys thought, and I'll hang up and listen.
Well, Donnie Tindall said, hey, thanks for the call, man. Donnie Tindall said we have the least experienced team in this league, and we come through this stretch 8-4. I mean, Keith, they have to be really thrilled with where they're at.
No, I don't think there's any doubt you have to be happy with where they're at. I mean, you get through what was a fairly arduous non-conference schedule at 8-4. I don't know why you wouldn't be happy with that.
Tindall also says, I want my team playing fast. I don't mean shoot it quick. I mean play fast. I mean by being aggressive. They did that today, Keith.
Oh, I thought the offense today, especially in that run in the second half where they took control of the game, I thought the offense certainly look better than it has at any other point this year.
And you never gave up on Hubs. And he's starting to play now.
I thought today was one of his... He actually made an outside shot today. Got on the boards a little bit. I mean, I think he's slowly but surely contributing. And that's... And this team needs all the contribution it can get from everybody. I mean, it's not as if this team has overwhelming talent, so you've got to get something out of everybody, and that... They got some good stuff out of Hubs today.
Back to the phones we go, 865-200-5402. Tyreek Owens wasn't playing based on matchups. Needed Reese at the 5 more, he said, and I'm sharing Ben Fredrickson's timeline with you. But that's what Donnie Tindall said just a few moments ago. I'm surprised Owens didn't get in that game a little bit today, Keith.
It really would have been tough. Really would have been kind of an odd matchup in that he wouldn't have had anybody. I mean, granted, Tennessee's playing a lot of zone, but he wouldn't have had anyone that would have really. That would probably have been a difficult matchup. I think when you've got a team as small as ETSU and they're kind of ringing the perimeter and shooting the ball from deep, I think that probably would have put him in a couple of tough situations if he'd been out there. But I'm kind of surprised he didn't get any minutes.
Back to our phones we go. 865-200-5402. Ole Miss is settling for a field goal, and they hit it. And now it's 42-3. Some would say that's pretty cheap to kick a field goal when you're down 42-0. That's horse bleep, as the Vol Colonel just told me on Twitter a moment ago. 7:18 to play in the game, 42-3. Shutout is over. What do you think of that, Keith, kicking a field goal in a 42-0 game with 7.5 minutes left?
I'm not a big fan of that. That strikes me as simply trying not to get shut out.
That's some horse bleep right there. Back to the phones we go, 865-200-5402. You're on your smart way, Dalton Bearing and Hydraulic. Tennessee basketball overtime. Happy New Year.
I think Freeze had a suit. 2-3 on a quarter board. Happy New Year's, guys.
Bino, who kicks a field goal And by the way, I recognize your voice today. Who kicks a field? You're welcome. Who kicks a field goal down 42-0?
Ridiculous.
That is Bush League. And I ought to know because I am Bush League.
You guys are a couple of holiday warriors. Appreciate you. Been in there on Thanksgiving, New Year's, around Christmas. Reckon your significant others and wives will let you come in here on like Valentine's Day and do this?
Well, Tennessee plays on Valentine's Day.
Well, no, they don't.
Of course they do.
Yeah, they
you guys have to be in here on the holiday.
I'm going
to
be dead meat. Are you kidding me?
I think that may be the LSU game.
Oh, no.
Oh, Lordy. Hey, Keith, I'll tell you one thing, Tony. I've learned to trust Keith because he was telling us Josh Richardson could play. I didn't think Richardson could play dead in the Western. I thought Keith was out to lunch. So now when he tells me he believes somebody can play, I'm waiting until they graduate before I say they can't.
And you know what? He told us that about Hubs, and I got to say this. Hubs has really played pretty well here in this stretch of four games, hasn't he?
He certainly has. He played well. Keith, it seems like to me that Tindall he's got a real good feel as I watch him, especially for his opponent and his own personnel. You know, I watched today, and Carmichael was struggling a little bit, getting banged around, getting opportunities, but wasn't finishing, getting banged around. He puts Reese in there and starts getting the finishes and the interior passing that he wanted. And, you know, it was not a perimeter game for Tennessee, so Baughman doesn't play very much today. He's just got a good feel for who he needs against who.
I think that's one of his strengths, is I think he understands his team, and I think not enough coaches do a good job of having that awareness of what their personnel really is. I think if you don't know your own personnel, there's no way you can put an effective team out on the floor.
And you know what? One other point. If you're going to do something like that and take a Baughman and not let him play today, Keith and Bino, you better have a great relationship with your players, because how you can do that and not have dissension creep in, your kids have to trust you that you're going to do the right thing.
Oh, no doubt. And I think it's obvious they do. I mean, you see this is a team that when guys are on the bench, they're encouraging each other.
Yep.
They're rooting for their teammates.
Yep.
I think honestly, you never know, because I'm certainly, it's not like I'm there at practice every day or something, but this strikes me as a pretty good group of guys.
I tell you one thing.
I think it is as well, and that's really stunning to put a team together as quickly as he had to put it together, Keith, and still have that going on. I would think chemistry would be the last thing you would have the way this team had to be constructed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you piece the roster together essentially at the 11th hour, yeah, you're generally going to be in a position where it's not going to be something that's very cohesive, and I think for the most part it has been. I mean, certainly they still have some moments where it's obvious they're not picking up the defensive scheme perfectly yet, but that's to be expected. But I thought today was just another example of Tennessee took a pretty good punch early and was able to weather the storm, and I thought in the last 35 minutes or so played actually pretty doggone well.
Hey, the three ball is the great equalizer, like AJ said. But I tell you what, when you're as heavily relying on it as ETSU is, and you're a fan of that team, it's just gut-wrenching, because you know, even on your best nights, you're going to have a couple of 7-minute stretches where you don't score at all, and that's what happened to them today.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's the thing. It's very much, it's when you're wholly reliant on jump shots, it's really tough to do. It's really tough.
Couple more quick things I'll get out of the way here. I haven't seen the box score, but I believe that Tennessee out-rebounded them 38-20, and I know they're small, but I don't believe that ETSU got their first offensive rebound until about 5 minutes into the second half.
They finished with three for the game, you know, three for the game.
That's pretty good out of that zone, because I would think, I know Tennessee's having trouble finding the making sure that the other team's shooter is covered as much as they need to be. But it's not easy to rebound out of that either, so I think Tennessee's doing a pretty good job of that.
I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, certainly when you essentially double up somebody in college basketball, regardless of how small they are, you double somebody up on the board, you give yourself a really good chance to win.
Well, that shows you how well East Tennessee State shot the ball. I mean, to be out rebounded 38-20 in a game and only lose 71-21, and you have to, the other team has to go on a 15-4 run down the stretch to beat you by that margin. That tells you how well they were shooting the ball. And to your point, Bino, they had 3 offensive rebounds for the entire game, did East Tennessee State, while Tennessee had 12.
That's just outstanding. Hey, Tony, your boy Mike Young and Wofford are playing Duke off their feet. I know Ole Miss is making a frenzied run here, but you may want to find that.
What channel is that on?
I believe I've got it up on, like, Fox Sports, Florida, somewhere up in the Fox Sports up there. Wait a second.
Are they in the game, Bino?
Yeah, they're only like 5 back. It's first half, but they're only like 5 back. It's on 6:54.
Old Mike Young can coach a little bit there, Hatfield. What do you think?
Oh, no, there's no doubt. I mean, because that's a program that was absolutely nowhere when he got there. I mean, that's one of those programs that everybody just stuck on the schedule as a bye game. And I think as time goes on, it's going to be more and more difficult for them to get anybody to play them.
He almost got the Charleston job this offseason.
Hey, Happy New Year, guys, and thanks for being in there.
Love you, Bino.
Bino, have a good one.
Bino couldn't even wait for you to get out your thing about him almost going to Charleston. He just talked right over you.
Well, now, that Charleston search was kind of a debacle, so.
Oh. 865-200-5402. Justin Martin will have 3 years to play three. Some are calling him the next Cam Sutton, a Cam Sutton type. Going to enroll at Tennessee in May.
Oh, there's no doubt this team is going to be loaded on defense next year.
Tennessee will be rolling with Nolan next year. Mark it down. 865-200-5402. As the basketball balls win today, the football balls win today. College football is winning today because TCU is hammering, and I mean hammering, and I mean laying the wood to Ole Miss, which is only going to speed up this 8-team playoff. And you got to hope Baylor tomorrow does the same thing to Michigan State, which I think they will. I think Baylor's going to run Michigan State off the field tomorrow. 865-200-5402. And Tyrone Corbin is about to get fired in the NBA, Hatfield.
He's a guy that just manages to keep getting jobs. How it happens, I don't know. He certainly has never done anything that merits those jobs.
Back to our phones we go. 865-200-5402. He's the Buzz Peterson of the NBA. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony. How are you doing today, buddy?
Hey, who's this?
This is Ben.
Hey, Ben. Great talk to you.
Hey, you were sitting there talking about Justin Martin. I've kind of been out of the loop here today. You said he committed.
He committed about a half hour ago, and he did so saying that John Chavis's move to Texas A&M was the final straw for him.
You know that kid last year would have been according to a lot of the recruiting analysts out there, this kid would have been the number one prospect in the state last year if it had not been for his grades being so bad. And apparently, it wasn't necessarily that his grades were bad later in his career or in his high school career. He actually just ended up earlier in his career and had issues with. The grades there, so
isn't that interesting when kids just and then some guidance counselor will get with them and go, hey Justin, you could really be a somebody, you got to pick your grades up, and then the kid will buckle down, but they dig such a hole for themselves that they can't get out of it. And that does happen, man. That doesn't necessarily mean that kid's a dummy or anything like that. It just means he didn't apply himself early on, and that does happen.
Yeah, that kid's going to be a complete and total shutdown corner for us.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you.
That's a big pickup.
Next year, we are going to be lights out Louie on defense. Nobody wants anything to do with Tennessee next year.
It's going to be nasty. If you hadn't, if any anybody that's listening has not looked at Khalil McKenzie's videos over the last two, 3 days from the All-American.
My gosh.
He throws those other kids around like rag dolls. And one of them was the number two offensive guard. Rivals and just blew freaking piece of paper. Unreal.
I'm telling you, and Ben, here's the thing about a McKenzie that I like. The guy's out all year, so he's fresher than fresh.
Well, you know, he's kind of got a situation. Obviously, everybody knows his dad's been with the Packers organization for so long. His situation is a little different than a lot of these other kids. He's been around professional football his whole life, and he's been able to work out with professional sports teams throughout his whole life. He's got training that other kids, you know, they don't get until within the last 2-3 years of high school. He's had this type of training throughout his whole high school or middle school, elementary school. He's basically been able to be brought up with the perfect technique and everything, with his dad having the connections that he has.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it.
I tell you one other thing. You guys were talking about Florida dipping in to their own basket to beat themselves. I guess that kind of goes along with their football team where they like to block themselves as well. That kind of came to mind. I'm sure you've probably seen the photograph of the two offensive linemen for Florida blocking each other. It's kind of funny. Everything's cyclical. And you're starting to see now, I think, some of these things with that whole Florida athletic program start to crumble a little bit. At least I'm hoping so. That would be nice to be able to see.
Yeah, we've thrown dirt on Florida so many times that, I'm only going to go there. Here's my thing about Florida. You know when we're going to beat Florida? Probably never. That, you know what I mean? Like, after last year, I just kind of look at Florida and say...
Yeah, the last 2 years.
Yeah, last 2 years. Last 10 years. Yeah.
I tell you what, I'm really impressed with Donnie Kendall. He's absolutely unreal coach. When they hired him, obviously you're not supposed to judge a book by its cover, but by looking at him, I never would have thought that he was a basketball coach. He looks nothing like a basketball coach would look like. But again, judging a box cover, that's not the thing to do. This guy can actually flat out coach. I like the second half adjustments that he's made. That's something I think that Konzo was not able to do. In fact, I don't think he made first half adjustments, but, it's refreshing to be able to see a coach come in, be able to put a team together out of basically a bunch of misfit toys that's just been mismatched together and throw a team together that's competitive, it's just really nice to be able to see somebody that knows what they're doing and can take a bunch of kids and put them together and actually make a team out of them.
Hey, Ben, do you know what Tindall told me, Ben? On the air about a week and a half ago, he said, imagine if we had 9 months running to recruit. If we could do what we did in 6 weeks, putting a team together, imagine if we had 9 months or a year. If they get through this thing, this NCAA bump, if they can get through this, this guy here could really do some damage in this league for a long time. He really could.
Oh, I do believe so. Now, I'll tell you this. I have a connection to a head coach in the SEC that knows, obviously, he knows that Donnie Kendall is going to have a bunch of crap thrown at him off of this.
Mm-hmm.
And he had told me and another buddy of mine, he had told us that, he feels bad for him because he's been in that exact same situation before. And it's sad that they would come, and it's exactly what he said. It's sad that they would come after him when there's so much other stuff that's going on outside of health get into school versus pushing these kids through school and keeping them in school on fake programs. And, you know, he was kind of upset with the way that the things have gone on for Donnie, and thinks that a lot of this is obviously just a witch hunt, just to kind of draw attention off of North Carolina and a couple of other places. So it's a sad thing to see. I just hope that he's able to withstand, because there's a lot of stuff that he does outside of the basketball program, on helping kids, going and seeing them in the hospital, taking them pizza. I think I actually sent you a story not too long ago about that, where a guy had posted on MomQuest where Donnie just showed up at Children's Hospital, Justin came in and saw this kid, and then found out that he liked pizza, delivered him a bunch of pizza, and made sure that he was going to be able to watch the game. And then as he did, he turned around, ordered him another pizza, and sent it in. Didn't even ask. You know, this isn't something the kid asked for. It's just, you know, he had found out that this little kid was a huge ball fan. Goes in and does. I mean, who does that as a, you know, that makes that type of money? Who goes and sees kids and does that type of stuff out of the goodness of his own heart? Not, and this isn't anything that he got out there. And
no, right. Not like Alabama visiting the Children's Hospital and Nick Saban posing with some kids like they're a prop. Right.
Oh, sure.
Right.
You know, and he does that type of stuff.
Right.
But anyway, well, I appreciate you guys having me on. And I tell you what, you had mentioned earlier this week about the Alabama and Ohio State game and, you know, trying to decide who. I know you're not going to root for Alabama. I'm just going to – I can't root for Nick Saban, and I can't root for Urban Meyer. I think I'm just going to be a conscientious objector.
Yeah, I might take me about 3 Xanax and call it a morning. Take care, brother.
All right, thanks, man.
And one more thing about Tindall. You'll appreciate this, Keith. You know, he's kind of familiar with the show. And he told me, he said, why don't you grab your friend Roger, and why don't you bring him over to a practice? He said, I'd like to meet him. Isn't that cool?
Well, I mean, I think he's somebody that understands what this place is like, in that you've got to, that fans expect their head coaches at Tennessee to actually be engaged with the community and be part of it. I think he's doing his best to do that.
865-200-5402. If you want to get in the hunt and in the mix with us, I can't wait tomorrow for the New Year's Eve tonight. Couple more good games left today on the table. Keith, what about college basketball over the next couple days? Anything good out there?
Well, you've got the Big East marathon today, where you've got a lot of games. I think Georgetown's Xavier tonight at 10 will be really good. And then you've got some other conferences firing up conference play. The Big Ten's got some games going on today, so you'll slowly but surely get some conference play going this weekend. The SEC starting a little later than most, but they'll fire it up next week.
865-200-5402. And I guess the big theme when we get into the league season is going to be, will Kentucky run the table? And my answer would be, I don't see why not. Let's go to, because even on an off night, they're going to have more than most teams. Somebody's going to have to shoot the ball the way East Tennessee State shot it today for them to suffer a loss in this league. Let's go to the phones. And when I mean the way East Tennessee State shot it, I mean the way East Tennessee shot it for the first 30 minutes. That's what it's going to take if you're going to beat Kentucky this year. Let's go to the phones and grab another call. Hello and welcome.
Tom, this is Fake Dave Nathan.
Hey, FDN.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, happy New Year to you, man. You and all your multiple personalities. Yep.
Hey, Stone, I didn't get to watch the game today. I had to listen to Bob Kessling call it on the radio, so I feel like I missed quite a bit. But I think, again, somebody else stepping up, you're not accustomed to hearing about. It's just, it's like we talked about the last game or the last time you were on the air. It's Kendall's MO. I mean, that's how they play ball. And I've said it every time that I've called, just about every time I call you, the Stu Manitarian's the biggest sheep that I know, but he's shaving off some of that wool and making me a coat. I think that this team's gonna make the tournament.
This team has set itself up for people to legitimately talk about making the tournament. And the reason why they've set themselves up, and you can think in that fashion, is you have an 18-game schedule. You go 10-8 against it. That gives you 18. You win a game or two, and all of a sudden you can start talking about a 20-win season. And, Keith, if they win 20 with the non-conference resume they've put together, they'll get in, Keith, if they can go 10-8 in the league.
I think I would agree with that. I think certainly the